Every time our athletes walk into this weight room, they're going to be pushed to the max.
Let's go!
The barbell hasn't changed in over 100 years. I can take a 25-pound plate, and we'll go out on the turf, and I'll have you hating life. We talk about straining your gut, pushing past that comfort level. I want a lot of energy.
What better breeding ground is there for being a success in life than the weight room?
Hey guys, welcome back to Iron Gym Chalk Talk. I'm your host, Ron McKeefer. This is episode number 327. I want to thank you guys for listening each week. Really appreciate those of you that like, share, comment. Just helps us continue to highlight the great people that we have in our profession. Also want to thank our sponsor, Train Heroic, for bringing these episodes to you for free. I only partner with companies I believe in, both the people and the product. And great people at Train Heroic, but they also have a fantastic product. So if you're in the market, reach out to them. If not, just let them know how much you appreciate them being part of the show. This week, joined by a friend of mine, a former staff member, Glenn Revel. He's a strength and conditioning coordinator at East Central Independent School District down in Texas in San Antonio. Glenn was on our staff at Eastern Michigan and made a great impact there, and has done a great job with his career since then. So, man, excited to have you on the show, brother.
Oh, man, thank you, Coach, man. I'm honored to be on here, honored that you would consider me worthy enough to be a guest.
Oh, no, man. Well, you know, these are always exciting for me because, you know, as you and I, as you'll attest to, right, to going through, the staff curriculum and all that, I do this for more than just making the impact on the players' lives, but I think that, you know, the old adage with coaching is, if you can have, coaches impact more people in one day than most people do in their entire life. And if you have a chance to have a little bit of an impact in a coach's life, I think it's a special, you know. And so seeing you guys go off to do fantastic things, it's really special to me. So, man, excited about that. You know, Glenn, you've been, if I remember correctly, I know you played at Hardin-Simmons, right?
Yes, sir. That's correct.
Simmons went on, played an arena. Freaking arena just freaking folded, right?
I know, man. It was a sad day. There's a lot of – didn't make a lot of money, but made a lot of memories doing that stuff.
was a good player, competed in weightlifting. Then I think you started your career, Angelo State maybe, Eastern Michigan.
Yes, sir.
Virginia State, I think. Which one?
Yep, stopped at South Florida along the way.
Yeah. Which one of those stops, like, best defined you, best developed you into the person you are today?
Oh, man. I think I learned a lot at each stop that I had. My internship with you at Eastern is where I really saw myself grow the most rapidly in the shortest amount of time, just because obviously the internship you had was top notch. And I don't know if you know this or not, but when I was choosing my internship, it was you or it was with Paul Jackson at Ole Miss. And obviously Eastern had its reputation. And at that time, Ole Miss was a top 10 program, SEC school. And my coworkers was like, you're going to Eastern Michigan that haven't won a game in like 20 years over SEC Ole Miss? Are you crazy?
Right.
And I felt that a little bit, but I thought, and nothing against Coach Jackson, he does a great job down there. But from hearing about your internship program, I knew that's where I was going to grow the most as a coach and get put in real life coaching situations and really get to sharpen my sword under the people that have been there before, so they could give me that crucial critical feedback as it was happening. And that really enabled me when I got my first head strength coach job at West Virginia State University. Literally 4 weeks after I graduated with my master's degree, I'd been in the fire, I'd seen how people run things, and I felt comfortable just stepping in and just taking off ground running.
Yeah, I mean, we obviously set it up in that way to make it so it's not like a fluff fest for everybody listening. But what about the internship do you feel like maybe helped prepare you the best? Or what advice do you have for other coaches that are running internships right now that this one or two things really, you know, helped me grow in a tremendous way?
Yeah, for me it was – the opportunity that you gave us as much hands-on coaching experience as you could within the regulations that the NCAA allowed. And I didn't want to go to an internship where I was the guy that cleaned the weight room and stood outside during the training session and then cleaned it again. So hands-on coaching as much as you could give us. And then also you putting us in those positions where we had to do professional development. We had to do those presentations. And you said in one presentation, you said, I want you to pick a controversial topic and stand up here and present on it with confidence. And let's see how you do. And then me and my staff are going to pick apart what you just said. And so that was a really great opportunity to present in front of other professionals that have as much or more knowledge than you, because that's what it's going to be when you go to a seminar, as you know.
Yeah, not just that, but also, you know, whenever you sit in that coach's staff meeting, you're going to have differences of opinions, you know, and you got to be able to defend with conviction what you believe in. And that's, to me, that's what a lot of young coaches don't do so much is they get confronted. They have their full confidence, and then all of a sudden they get a little bit of confrontation and they run away from that a little bit. And yeah. You always did a good job with that. You definitely rose to the challenge there. You know, in a young career at this point, you've had a tremendous amount of success. This is, I think, the third place you've been head strength coach, the second or third place you've been head strength coach now.
Second place.
You know, what are some of the biggest – what's one of the biggest mistakes you've made and what how you've learned from that?
Man, I think when I – so transitioning from the college to the high school level where I'm at right now and being – a strength and conditioning coordinator. I oversee 1,000 kids, 60 coaches, 3 campuses, and 5 weight rooms. And they hired me with the intent and knowing I'm not going to be in the weight room for every session. And I had to let go of the responsibility of overseeing every training session. And for me, that looked like exactly what you taught us, was learning to coach coaches and speak to them in terminology they can understand. These are high school coaches. These are middle school coaches. They don't have a background in exercise science. Most of the time they're doing whatever they did in high school. And it was my job to come in and bridge the gap and say, just because you saw JJ Watt doing this on YouTube doesn't mean you need to be doing it with your 7th grade football player.
Right.
And making that a concrete bridge for them to pass so we can get our kids doing age and skill appropriate things. So by the time they get to me at high school, then they're ready to go and do some good training.
You know, with running a staff like that, I mean, it's a lot, right? 5 different weight rooms. And I, you know, I managed 5 different weight rooms at Tennessee, but it was within a camp. You're up quite a bit there. What are some tactics that you're using to kind of communicate regularly? Are you having regular meetings? Are you doing Zoom calls like this? What are you doing?
Yeah. So I try to spend at least one day a week on campus with all the schools that I have. And what this job has really forced me to do is finely tune my processes and my standards of how I want things and run in any weight room I walk into. I've created our workout cards in such a way that a kid is going to see the same workout card from 7th through 12th grade, and the session is going to be run the same. And that way we can train multiple teams in the same weight room at the same time. And the only thing that changes for them is the exercise that's written on their card. So the timing is the same, the rotations are the same, and then I can walk in at any time and be like, okay, this looks right, this is the correct exercise, you're running this correctly. And I've provided, much like you have, an exercise database for all of my coaches that they can access through Google Sheets. If they see an exercise they don't know, they click on it, a video comes up, and like worst case scenario, they're coaching off. Best case scenario, I've been down there, I've talked about it, and when I send the workouts to them, I go over, we have a little counseling session, a little conference call, and I'm like, here's your exercises, here's the point of the training session for the next 4 weeks, and this is what I'm looking for when I walk into your building.
You know, when you have that many coaches, that many athletes, I would imagine that simplicity is kind of the critical element, right? You know, what are some ways that you've kind of made the complex simple?
Yeah, and that was a big struggle for me too when I came in from the college level. My exercise index your athlete can handle is so broad and you can change it almost daily. And then I came here and I was trying to do the same thing. And I was like, okay, this is not working. But I still held the athletes to the same standards. Like once I explain this exercise, you learn it, you know it, you put it in your library and we build on that. But really I just pared everything down. What I discovered is all kids want to run. All kids want to jump. All kids want to lift heavy weights to get strong. And that's kind of what it came down for to me is I was like, okay, let's get you on an appropriate progression. If you're a seventh grader, you're going to goblet squat. If you're an eighth grader, you're going to front squat. When you get to me in ninth grade, you're going to learn the back squat, and we can up that. So I provided all of my middle and high school coaches with essentially an athletic, like a long-term athletic development pyramid. And the base level is sixth grade pre-athletics. And then by the time we get to 12th graders, when they're seeing me on a regular basis, we're doing age appropriate, but still challenging things for those kids. So just giving my coaches the content that they need to make the exercises and workouts simple for the kids has been the biggest thing I've been able to do.
You know, when you're dealing with those kids, I mean, you know, sixth to eighth grade is a big, it can be completely different kids, and freshman to senior can be completely different kids. Like, how are you making the programs, you know, both, you know, sport specific, but also kind of athlete specific?
Right. Yeah. And what I like to do is all of my coaches, now that I've been here for 3 years, whatever I put the standard exercise that I want. So if I want you to back squat and you can't effectively back squat, then we back you down to the front squat. And if you're not front squatting great, then we back you down to the goblet squat. So the coaches all know the progressions and regressions of the exercise that I give the kids. And at that point, I have to trust that the coaches I've worked with, they've seen athletes. Like, these coaches, they've seen kids for 10, 15, 20 years. They know how a kid can move. And I have to trust that my coach is going to go ahead and give them the appropriate regression. Because I'm not going to be on campus. I tell the coach I'm going to be about 50% of your training sessions if I can. So then I have to rely on them to use their good judgment and just trust that they're making the right decisions. And I adjust when I come in and see something that needs adjusting.
Yeah, there's always, you know, there's always freedom within structure, right? And I think that's what, you know, like what you're talking about, what we did at Eastern Michigan and other places, is that plus two, minus two, right? Always having kind of two progressions or two regressions as you go, and defining what that core movement is. You know, I hate core anything, but what that foundational movement is, and then building off of that and some sort of steady progression out of the way is super important. And having structure like you're doing with your coaches, to me, that's, you know, that's how you can, you're able to fight for your coaches when there's problems, right? You know, and absolutely. So I know with high schools, dealing with parents could probably be a nightmare, right? It could be, you know, you'd be your best friends or your worst enemies. What are some ways that you've kind of set a standard for the parents on how the weight rooms ran?
Yeah, and I've been lucky. I'm great. My athletic director is great. Our coordinators are great. They do a great job. Because when I first got to the high school level, as you know, at the college level, you don't deal with parents. And so the first couple interactions I had, I was pretty defensive. And I was like, okay, well, tell me how many D1 schools you've worked at. Like, went about it the wrong way.
Right.
And I think, at this point, I just come to the table if I have to have a meeting, and I'm like, I lay out, here's where I want your son or daughter to get. This is where they are, and here's my plan to get them there. So I explain to them where I want their kid to get, where they're at, in an effort to get them on my side. So now we're seeing the same thing, because they're disagreeing with me because they don't see the outcome that I'm trying to get their child to. So now when we have a unified outcome for their kid, then all the conversations we have are more productive and more streamlined. And now that conflict doesn't become me versus you. It becomes you help me so we can get your kid to where we want them to be.
Yeah, 100%. You know, again, we talked about that quite a bit, but, you know, I think so many coaches forget that as long as you set a standard and you maintain the standard and you're consistent about it, you're going to get the support that you want. But it's when you start to waver and you're like, you treat Johnny this way and Joey a different way, that's when it creates opportunities for, you know, coaches, parents, you know, anybody, the kids themselves, to try to challenge that. So, no, I appreciate that. You know, one thing that we would always talk about, and what I really, you know, we just had, I think Taylor was in your class, wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
We had Taylor in your class, and we've had a couple other, you know, former staff members on recently, and you know, one thing that we've always tried to push hard was advocating for the profession, you know, in any way you possibly can. And you guys have all done a good job of you know, Taylor went off to work for the NSCA at one point, and you've created, you know, podcasts and some other things. Talk a little bit about, you know, advocating for the profession, you know, kind of even outside of the profession.
Absolutely. So I was granted a really unique opportunity this year within the city of San Antonio. They have a year-long leadership cohort where they take 60 professionals from all walks of life and they put you through a year-long cohort. I was in there with CEOs of Valero, of USAA, of Frost Bank, Susan G. Komen, and I was the coach. Like, I was coach. What does coach do? And so I took that as a huge opportunity to advocate, not only for myself as an individual, but coaches and educators, and show them how versatile we are. And I actually, it's funny you bring that up, because I had that conversation with Ben Crookston, I think back in 2017 when NSCA was in Nashville. He was really fired up about, man, strength coaches are smart people and they have this stigma about them that doesn't apply. And so I think as coaches, and especially as a strength coach, we have a really unique skill set, because we deal with every single team. We manage facilities, we handle scheduling, we interact with every single coach. And honestly, I think strength coaches are a perfect candidate to become, if they want, athletic directors or climb that ladder, because they interact with everyone at every facet of the athletic department. And so when I got a chance to showcase to these people, like, yes, I do reps and sets and this and that, but also I manage 1,000 people. I have, and you put it in their terms, I have 60 direct reports. I form partnerships within my organization. So at East Central, like, we've partnered with the ROTC. They use our weight room. They run our boot camp. We partner with Fire Science. They get to use our facilities for their PT, and they come out and run events for us. And then last but not least, we partner with our shop class. And if I ever need anything made, I just go to the shop teacher, and that becomes the shop team's school project. So I think speaking to professionals in other industries in their terms, because you have to learn their jargon just like they would have to learn ours, and then showing them how multifaceted you are, because they see you on TV on the sideline swinging a towel, doing whatever you're doing. Right. What they don't see is the skills in Microsoft Excel that you have, delegating schedules, managing. Like, let's be honest, college coaches, even high school coaches, have egos, and they want what they want for their kids when they want it. Right. And in my situation, I'll have up to 5 teams in one athletic period. And it's like, coach, you're not going to get the weight room by yourself. I'm going to put you in there with another team. We're still going to get good work. But what I need you to do is jump in and coach your team so you can make sure you get what you want out of this training session.
100%.
So I think that's kind of, just to wrap it up, yeah, speak to them in their jargon and just, yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, I've talked about this quite a bit lately. You know, you've got to learn the lyrics, right? And the lyrics, yes, is their vocabulary, absolutely, right? And if you can, you know, if you go up there as that meathead with the, you know, with the gym clothes on and the, you know, your protein shake in hand, you're gonna get treated
right.
If you go up there and you're speaking in their terms, you know, then, you know, you allow your education, you allow your experiences to position yourself in a unique way. And to me, that's the reason why I wrote the CEO strength coach, because I think if, you know, if we did anything else, we would be the CEO of that company, right? You know, you're managing people,
absolutely,
partnerships, you're managing a budget, oftentimes, depending on the level, several thousand dollars worth of budgeting, if not millions. And so all those things, when you look at it that way, so many strength coaches look at that stuff and they can't wait to not do that, to go back to, you know, the count of 10 in the weight room. Right. But if you look at that as you're developing these unique skill sets that can translate, you know, to make you a better strength coach, but also maybe, you know, maybe down the line, maybe doing something different even, it becomes stuff that, you know, not everybody can motivate a person to go freaking get up at 5 a.m. and go work out in the snow, right?
Absolutely.
That's a special skill.
Yeah, for sure.
We don't have, you know, and so I agree with you 100% on that. You know, to that same note, you know, this profession's rocky, right? It's up and down, and it's, and there's lots of different things. You're creating some side hustles and multiple streams of income and you know, podcasting and those types of things. Talk a little bit about what you've done to to start to kind of diversify.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was something we discussed part of that internship curriculum we spoke about, and was like, as soon as you're in a position, you have to be ready to be out of it. And so for me, I started a podcast with my best friend. It's called the G-Cast. We speak about coaching, leadership, and education. We make it applicable to parents, coaches, teachers, leaders, business people. Because like we talked about, coaches and teachers have a lot to offer other professionals. And then I found a gym in the private industry that I believed in. I had to have my spinal cord fused together, so I couldn't train like I used to. Found a gym that worked for me, and I was like, man, the owner is on point. She knows what she's doing business wise. And I said, hey, let me help you. Like, in my free time, I can teach a class for you. I can jump in. I've been around. I've seen things partnered with. It's called EnergyX Fitness here in San Antonio. We just opened our second location. And I currently serve as one of their coaches on the coaching staff. And really what, besides a little bit of extra money there, what that does is it helps me hone in on teaching the basics. Because as you know, coach, like the further you get up the totem pole, the further you are away from the coaching floor sometimes, and you lose touch with the little basic things. So when a gen pop person walks into the gym and they're trying to do a kettlebell clean, now I really get to hone in on like speaking to someone in a language where they can understand a complicated skill. So not only am I benefiting myself financially, but I'm still kind of giving myself that. And then another really important thing that I did was I found a financial advisor, and I just am like, hey man, I don't have a lot of money. I can give you a couple $100 a month, but I found someone I trust, and I was like, I want you to do what you think will earn me the most money over a certain amount of time. Because as coaches, as you know, especially coming up in college, you don't make a ton of money. And some people be like, I don't make a lot of money. I don't have money to invest. I don't have money to save. But it's like, at that point, it's so critical. It matters more than ever. So even if it's 50 bucks, 100 bucks, whatever it is, getting that in an account and a professional who you trust who can make that money work for you when you're not having to worry about it has been a really big help for me too.
Yeah, it's so important. And, you know, I think for me, this has been, you know, last probably 12, 15 years of really kind of, you know, really kind of championing the entrepreneurial strength coach, or the, you know, the think the outside the box deal. And, you know, I know when you were there, I was probably even more passionate about it because I was living away from my family and those types
of
things. You have to diversify yourself as a strength coach, or any coach for that matter, and finding these things. And so like podcasting for you, I don't know if you're making money from that right now or not, but it could potentially be a revenue stream. But it's also your currency in that is that you're building a tribe of people that know, like, and trust you. Right. And who knows what can be done with that. If you got a group of people that know, like, and trust you. And then you've got, you know, some side coaching, which is very common with coaches is to do some of that type of stuff. You know, and finding these other little things that make sense, you know, with the financial planner, to me, that's, you're plugging leaks, right? Where money could be escaping, you're plugging that up and then turn around and taking some of that money and reinvesting it back in yourself. So, I mean, such important stuff that you're talking about for the coaches that are listening. That everybody needs to be doing, and even, you know, going even to the next level with that, it would be awesome for sure. You know, I think with this profession, what do you hope? I mean, as a young guy in the profession now you're starting, but you're also, you recognize the challenges that come with it. What's the hope 20 years from now? Like, what does that career look like for you?
Man, I think for me, and I think this is why most coaches get to coaching, is because they want to make an impact on kids or young people or whoever it is. And like I spoke about before, strength coaches are really unique because we have an opportunity to interact with every athlete, regardless of the sport they play, depending on where you're at. And so for me, like, I have a chance to impact 1,000 kids every day. And I think 20 years from now, do I want to see our profession be like more respected? Yes. Like, do I want to have us, like, we need to have credibility as intelligent individuals. I think we're gaining that. I think people are starting to speak science terms and business, and that's happening. But at the end of the day, I want someone to look at a strength coach and someone outside of a coaching staff be like, that's the guy or that's the girl that on your staff is going to impact your kids. And when you make that hire, that's the person you're choosing to really like dig deep into some kids. When no one else is going to be there, they spend the most time with the strength coach. Like, we're going to be the ones that shape your team's character and the morals of your kids. And I think it is that way currently. And I think 20 years from now, it'll only be exponentially more than it is right now.
Yeah, I think it's that way internally. Maybe it's not externally seen that way. I think that's what we hope in the next 20 years is that it's more externally visible. But I agree with you 100%. We end the show with some resources. Give us the best piece of coaching advice you ever received.
Oh, man, the best piece of coaching advice you ever received. I think, and I just heard this recently, it was that no one cares as much as you do. And so that's kind of a double-edged sword because you're taking all this ownership and you're going crazy and you're like, why aren't you doing this? Why aren't you doing that? And at the same time, you have to back up and understand the people that you're working with, the kids that you're coaching, they don't have the same passion as you do. So that really helps me kind of like reframe my mindset whenever I flip out or I'm feeling stressed. I'm like, take a breath. No one cares as much as you do. You're going to be fine.
Agreed. A book, app, and website recommendations.
Yes, man. So a book that really got me into coaching was Strength Coach, A Call to Serve by Jeff Connors. I read that before I went to grad school. And I emailed him, some random guy just emailing Jeff Connors. I was like, I read your book. It was really impactful. And he emailed me back the next day at 4:30. And I was like, man, this guy had no reason to email me. And he was probably getting ready for a session. But the fact that he did was really cool. So I think as far as strength and conditioning reading, I love that one. It's got mindset pieces. It's got coaching. It's got the X's and O's. It's got the sets and percentages. And I think for me, just to stay relevant outside of the weight room, I love to read anything by Malcolm Gladwell. Social psychologist has some great stuff, has a great podcast. Because then when I walk into a room that's not full of strength coaches, I can conversate with them about things that are going on in society. So yeah, anything by Malcolm Gladwell and then Strength Coach, A Call to Serve by Jeff Connors for sure.
That's awesome.
Website. I love what Brett Bartholomew is doing right now as far as marketing himself as a professional as well as a strength coach and speaking to organizations about what he's learned through coaching and how he can apply it to organizational health. So he's doing a great job. I love his stuff. And honestly, the NSCA website, the new complimentary CEUs they've been offering, those have been a great thing for me because I can hop on, I can watch a quick 30 to 40 minute lecture, I can take that quiz, get a couple CEUs in, and really, like I referred to, that just kind of makes me go back and solidify the base of my coaching to make sure everything is on point. And then an app. So I have a really simple app. It's called the Tabata Timer. It's a free app. You can set your rest intervals, your work intervals. But what's cool about this is you can also set the number of sets you're going to do and how many times you're going to repeat those sets. It's a free app. All my coaches download it. And when I send them their weekly workouts, I screenshot how the app should look on their phone. So when they plug it in, when they plug it into the music, So when they plug it into the music, the timer's going, the kids get an audible beeping when they're supposed to be working, and we sync it up to our clocks in the weight room. So they see where the time is. They hear when they're supposed to rotate, and it just makes everything run really smooth for me.
That's great. Well, man, like I said at the beginning, it's always so cool for me to see, you know, coaches that have gone through our system going off and doing phenomenal things. And by no means is your success dependent, you know, a reflection of that. But it's like I said, me in my career, I've really focused on not just the fact from the coaches that are the athletes that I work with, but also the coaches that I get a chance to work with. And you know, seeing you go and do so many great things has been awesome. Awesome for me to see, and I appreciate you for what you do and how you do it, man.
Oh man, thank you, Coach. And I would be remiss if I didn't give a shout out to the Dirtbag Boys from Eastern Michigan. Kyle, Tyler, Derek, and Nate, because those guys really shaped me as a coach, as I hope I shaped them as an athlete. So I have to give them a shout out for sure.
Well, three of those guys are coaches, so it's pretty cool to see now. For sure.
That's awesome.
That's it for this episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk. Thanks to this week's guest, as well as our sponsors, for bringing this episode to you for free. Make sure to check out ronmckeefrey.com, where you can join our mailing list, find the show notes, including all the links and resources mentioned, and information about Coach McKeefrey's other products. While you are there, please join Coach McKeefrey in the comments section thanking our guest for sharing. If you haven't subscribed to Iron Game Chalk Talk on YouTube or iTunes yet, make sure to do so. Comments, ratings, and reviews are always welcome. Coach McKeefrey can be found on Twitter at @rmckeefrey, on Facebook and YouTube at @ron.mckeefrey. That's it for this week. Be sure to check back next week for another great episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk.